Psalm 63, Psalm chapter number 63. Again, I mentioned I have been enjoying these studies out of the Psalms, and brief as they are on a Wednesday night, praise the Lord. I was telling somebody today, I said, it's just so different. I think it was Bryce. I was talking with Bryce and just saying it's so different from the Wednesday nights when you're teaching through a book of the Bible. You've got three or four verses that you're locked into. I said, when you have 150 Psalms and you only have about seven or eight messages, you got a lot to choose from. Amen. And I hope this will be a blessing to you tonight. I think it will be. It's Psalm 63. Would you stand if you're physically able, out of respect to the Word of God? And we're going to read this psalm, and I want to talk to you tonight, Lord willing, preach to you this on this thought, the key to navigating through a crisis. The key to navigating through a crisis. Psalm chapter 63, we'll read the entire psalm, as is our custom. Let's read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. You read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 11. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Those of you that have been part of this series will not be taken aback by this, but surprise, surprise, David is in another crisis. Amen. As you read through the Psalms, you find several times David is in crisis. And we talked about it last week when he was running from Saul. I believe this particular time here that he's running from Absalom, who, of course, wanted to supplant his kingdom. And I believe the evidence for that is in verse number 11. It says, "But the king shall rejoice in God." That he was the king when he was running from Saul. He was anointed to be king, but he wasn't the king. Saul was still the king. But when Absalom tried to supplant his kingdom, he was king. And so here he is. He's in the wilderness of Judah. He's fleeing, and he's going through a crisis. You know, many in this room have gone through a crisis. And let me just say this. By the way, not everything is a crisis. You coming home from the grocery store with broken eggs is not a crisis. It's a mess, right? If you got pickles on your plain cheeseburger, that's not a crisis. That's annoying. If you have a flat tire in your driveway, even if you have somewhere to go, that's not a crisis. You know, financial reverse, that's a crisis. It's a crisis. Serious illness. Couldn't help but think about that man that was on our prayer list, Skip. You know, here he is, seriously ill, No job, no insurance, nobody will treat him. That's a crisis. That's a crisis. We have people in this room, you've lost a loved one. That's a crisis. Crisis. Wayward child, breaking your heart. Crisis. Loss because of false accusation and slander. That's a crisis. Of course, we preached on Sunday night about conflict, divorce. That's a crisis. It's a crisis. And David was most certainly going through a very real crisis. Any one of us been hunted recently? I don't think so. Any one of us forced to flee their home? I don't think so. Any of us have their own son sending men to kill them? No. So with all the chaos around him, when many would have crumbled, what was the key that David had here to navigating through a crisis? I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm talking to God's people tonight. It is your walk with God. Your walk with God is the key to navigating the crisis. And we're going to talk about our walk with God tonight. And I thought about this message tonight, and I thought, Brother Jeff, I thought, well, this is the Wednesday crowd. This is the crowd that walks with God. And I realize that. So you'll forgive me if not too far down the road I take this and recycle this on a Sunday morning. Number one tonight, the display of walking with God. The display. The first thing I see in this display of walking with God is the seeking of the soul. It says in verse 1, and we're going to look at these verses over and over. They reinforce so many points tonight. It says, O God, Thou art my God, early will I, what? Seek Thee. Here's this person, David, and he is going through chaos and he's going through difficulty. And he says, you know what? I'm seeking after God. I want God. There's the seeking of the soul. Isaiah 55, 6 says, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. I love this verse in 2 Chronicles 26, 5. It says, And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, when you're going through a crisis, it's not the time to run away from God. It's the time to seek God. Amen. The seeking of the soul. You know what? He was seeking some things. If you look at this text, he was seeking his presence. He said there in the back half of verse 1, he says, My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And you can see the imagery there. He said, I've got to have God's presence. I need you. I want you. I'm seeking after his presence. Verse 2, he says, to see thy what? Power. He was not only seeking his presence, but he was seeking God's power. And then in verses 3 and 4, he says there, Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I don't know if David was a fundamental Baptist or at least attended a fundamental Baptist church. Boy, if somebody lifts their hand in a Baptist church, people get nervous, Brother Case. They want to say, well, the restroom's right out there, sir. Amen. You know, that's biblical. Lifting up holy hands. I'm telling you what, I've done it in that office. I've done it in my house as I was having devotions and have time alone with God. And I just put my hands up and say, glory to God. Amen. You're seeking His presence. He was seeing His power. He was sounding His praise. You know, sometimes I think we're so dignified, we're petrified. It's okay to say hallelujah. Yeah, the preacher says something, you agree with it, you could say glory to God. Amen. He was seeking Here, he's the seeking of the soul is the display of walking with God. But then in verse 5, we see not only the seeking of the soul, we see the satisfying of the soul. He says this after he's seeing his power and seeking his presence and sounding his praise. We have the satisfying of the soul. Verse number 5, he says there, my soul shall be what? Satisfied. Satisfied. And it tells us in verses 6 and 7 how that takes place. We'll talk a little bit more about this. It takes place by remembering God, and it takes place about meditating about God. See it there. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. He said, thou hast been my help. How was that? Because he was remembering how good God had been. How many dangers, toils, and snares he had already come through. Amen. The satisfying of the soul. And then we see the strengthening of the soul. Verses 7 and 8. He says, because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth thee. See several things in here. There's so much meat in this chapter. It says, we find that David received provision from God. He said, thou hast been my help. You know who got you through your last crisis? God did. Oh, I know he uses things. He may use a pension or a social security or a friend, but it was God that got you through it. God sends his provision. And he said right here, thou hast been my help. David received provision from God. David received protection from God. Verse 7. Thou hast been my help. Therefore will I rejoice in the shadow of thy wings. Many of us know the hymn by Ira Sankey, under his wings, I am safely abiding. He says here that God provided protection. You know, it's amazing when you think about God's protection in our lives, particularly during crisis and difficulty, when we want to make the wrong decision. God protects us. God withholds us, if we could say it that way. David received provision from God. David received protection from God. David ran to pursue God. Verse 8. Love this phrase. It says, my soul followeth hard after thee. See, he ran to pursue God. Why? Because he received provision from God, and he received protection from God, and he received power from God at the end of verse 8. What does it say there? Thy right hand what? Upholdeth me. Have you ever been so faint you didn't know what to do in a crisis? Have you ever been there you just didn't know even know how to pray? God upholds you. God is the one who gives you power. Praise God, the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you can't even pray and don't even know how to pray, God in His power helps you to pray. So there's the display of walking with God. It's the satisfying of the soul. It's the seeking of the soul there. It's the satisfying of the soul, the strengthening of the soul. Secondly, there's the desire of walking with God. And you say, what do you mean by walking with God, Pastor? I mean reading your Bible. I mean studying your Bible. I mean praying. Having a time where you talk to God in prayer and where God talks to you as you read His Word. That's what I'm talking about in walking with God. The desire of walking with God. You know what? It's personal, isn't it? Oh, I think every man in this room that would desire to be a godly husband and father knows that there's a corporate aspect of our walk with God. We want to lead our families to walk with God. We want to bring our families to church. Amen? But really, walking with God is personal. My dear friend Marty Schott, Lord willing, who we'll have next year for our hog roast, he used to say this when I was his assistant used to say this a lot. He'd say, Christianity is largely a love affair of the heart. That's true. Your walk with God is personal. And the longer I've been saved, the longer I realize that it is a personal desire. As much as I want my little ones to come and have a personal walk with God, I can't force them. I can't force them. Oh, at this stage I can command and I can make sure it's done and all that, but there's going to come a day where they're either going to walk with God or they're not. It's personal. You know, if you look here, you see it's based on personal relationship. Verse 1. O God, thou art, what are the next two words? My God. My God. It's a personal relationship. 21 years ago, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I started walking with Him. I think about those early days. There was a lot. It was almost sprinting, Brother Case. And then there were some stumbles. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But I started walking with Him, and it was based on personal relationship. When I said, Lord Jesus, I want to be saved, He became my Lord and Savior. Personal, He says here, my God. Personal relationship. Not only is it based on personal relationship, but it comes from personal requirement. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Again, the back half of verse 1 says, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee. It was a personal requirement. Listen, David needed God. And he knew he needed God. You know, we all need God. But some people are so cognizant of the fact that we need God. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. We need Him. Jesus said, for without me you can do nothing. He said, it's based on personal relationship. It's based on personal requirement. It was based on personal reflection. Verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He thought back to times of corporate worship where it just seemed like God swept through. Amen. I've been there. I've been there. Unusual times. I've been there in this room where I felt that God swept through. And in strange circumstances, not just on big days. I remember last year when we had a sweet man of God in a wheelchair sit right here named Brother Bob Hamlin. And I'm telling you, I remember what he preached, and I remember how God just so softly, like a gentle breeze, worked through these pews. I think about other times. I think of Larry Bush coming down that aisle. I'll never forget that. Personal reflection. Personal. You know, again, he's a personal Savior. Amen? And so we're talking about that desire of walking with God. It comes from personal relationship, personal requirement, personal reflection. Verse 3, it comes from personal regard. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. You know what that is? That's personal love. That's personal love. You know, God loves everybody, and all God's people said. Hope we don't have any Calvinists in the room. Jesus died for some. It's what they teach. It's what they teach. It's what they teach. Died for some, didn't die for others. No, my God said in 1 John 2:2 that He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All of them. I'm telling you, God loves everybody, but even amongst His children, not everybody loves Him. You know, you can trust Christ as your Savior and go to heaven not loving God. You can. Say, oh, not. Yes, salvation's a decision. Trusting Christ. I'll tell you what, David here, his walk with God was based on his personal love for God. He just never got over it. He never got over it. There's a great song called, it goes, I've never got over that I'm not under my sins. Never got over that I'm not under the penalty of my sins. Whew. Personal regard. By the way, that's still the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. But then, you know what else there is? And it's the only page flipping we'll go tonight. Go to Psalm 27. Hold your place there in Psalm 63. We'll be right back. Your walk with God, my walk with God, David's walk with God was based on personal relationship. He said, he's my God. Personal requirement. He said, I've got to have him. Personal reflection of what God had done. Personal regard, love, but also personal regulation. Psalm 27, verse 8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You say, what's personal regulation, Pastor? That's obedience. That's obedience. I read a tremendous devotional today by a fellow named J. Sidlow Baxter, and he said, the first time I can remember singing, I was 4 years old in front of 200 ladies. He said, and was my older sisters were on both sides, and we sang, when we walk with the Lord, in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. And then he said, but my mother told me later why it was funny. Because I was sandwiched between my two sisters, he said, who were older, and I was only 4 years old. I fell asleep as we were singing. And he went on to say, he said, I wonder how many people are falling asleep in trust and obey. They're trusting, but not obeying. Listen, I said it before, I'll say it again. You can trust Christ as your Savior and not obey Him. And I'll tell you what, if you want to walk with God, that desire, it comes from personal relationship and personal requirement, personal reflection, personal regard, and personal regulation saying, hey, you said seek thy face, I'm going to seek your face. And then lastly tonight, the display of walking with God, the desire of walking with God, the discipline of walking with God. I'm so thankful for our senior saints here. I mean that. I say that a lot. I'm hoping that the rapture comes soon, so we're not parted. I really do. The thought of some of you being in heaven without us is more than I can bear. One of our senior saints said to me one time, Brother Hugh Howland, we were just talking, and I'm going to tell you something. Brother Hugh is a man of wisdom. He is just a man. You would do well. Miss Cook, you do your well to get your boys around Brother Hugh. He said, the key to life is discipline. He's right. Every area of life takes discipline. No matter what you're doing. The key, Brother Hugh said that, the key to life is discipline. And we see here the discipline of walking with God. I see three things here. Walking with God, having a walk with God in prayer and in Bible reading and devotions and meditation and memorization, which is something that's being lost, is a discipline. It's a discipline. It's a command and therefore a duty, but I view it as a blessed privilege that we get to walk with God. Oh, it's glory just to walk with Him. Amen? Oh, it's glory just to walk with Him. There's a discipline of determination. I want you to go back to Psalm 63 and look at verses 3 through 5. And I'll tell you, you can read the determination in these words. He says in Psalm 63, verse 3, he says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips, next word, church, shall praise thee. Sounds like determination. I'm going to praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. The discipline of determination. By the way, let's go back to the preface to the psalm. This is not at a kitchen table with a cup of coffee and a candle burning. Not against any of that. Did all that in my office today. But this is in a crisis. He says, I'm determining to walk with God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's when it matters. That's when it matters. That's when it's going to matter that you walked with God the day before. When you get the worst news you ever got. Some of you, I'm thinking of people in this room. My heart breaks for that day that you had when you got the worst news you ever got. Some of you saw it with your eyes. Some of you got a phone call. I'm telling you, your walk with God matters. It matters. And there's the discipline. Listen, remember that. It's a discipline. When you don't want to walk with God, walk with Him anyway. If ever there was a time we didn't want to walk with God, it's in the midst of a crisis. What good is this? I'm wasting 20 or 30 minutes. I could be working and earning income for my family. Don't do that. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. It's a discipline. So there's the discipline of determination. He said in verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. And there's the discipline, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, of a definite time to walk with God. I just know me. If I don't have a time blocked out, Brother Horsch, I won't do it. Simple as that. I've learned as a pastor many times, I have to live by a schedule whether I like it or not. Got to do it. The discipline of a definite time. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. He says, O God, thou art my God. Next word. Early. I guess this is personally in the morning time. But then there's something very interesting in verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the what? Now, when do you think that took place? This is a speculation. I perfectly accept that this is a bit speculation. When did they gather in the sanctuary? During the daytime. During the daytime. So you have personally in the morning time, and then you have publicly in the daytime. Well, look at verse number 6. It says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the what? Privately in the night watches. I think that squares with Daniel, who prayed to God morning, daytime, and evening. I think Psalm 55:17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. Have a definite time. Hey, listen, I remember, boy, having 10-minute break in the morning when I was at AAA Aircraft, and Pastor Schott had asked me to preach that night, and I think, okay, I'm going to need all of my 10-minute break, I'll need all of my 30-minute lunch, and I'll need all my 10-minute afternoon break to put that message together, amen? Listen to me. Walk with God. Have a time to do it. Some of you got this long ago. For some of you, this is new. Set aside a time. I said to Bryce today, I said, so instead of hitting the snooze button 4 times, hit it twice. Amen? Well, some of you that haven't worked in a while forgot that struggle. Amen? The discipline of determination. The discipline of having a definite time. And then lastly, the discipline of directing our mind. We have to direct our mind. Three things about truth, to seek truth. Verse 1, he said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek who? Thee. Whose truth? God. Jesus said, I am the way, the, and the life. So not only seeking truth, but then in verse 6, remembering truth. He said, when I remember who? Thee. thee. Verse 6, not only seeking truth and remembering truth, but the end of verse 6 says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on, meditating about truth, thinking about truth. You know, there's so much out there to distract our minds. Listen, I've been guilty. Technology. Catch myself, I'm scrolling on my phone, not looking at anything wrong, just been there too long. Hey, how about dwelling long in this? I mean, Dr. Malone used to say, he said, read your Bible till God speaks to you. He said, sometimes I read 4 chapters and God speaks to me. He said, sometimes I read 20 chapters and think, I don't know if I got all day to read my whole Bible, amen. He said, just get in it and saturate your... Hey, listen, it is glory just to walk with Him. Yes. It's the key to navigating through a crisis, our walk with God. The fact that, hey, I'm right with God, I'm okay, this crisis is in my life, and I'm right in the center of God's will. You know, the eye of the hurricane is actually the calmest place. It's calm. Not much going on. A lot going on around you. We said that about the lighthouse. You know, the waves can be smashing the lighthouse. But if you're inside the lighthouse, you're safe. You're safe. The key to navigating the crisis is our walk with God. Father, thank you, Lord, for this thought, Lord, that you just implant. And I pray that you would please bless us now as we close our service and as we move to our business meeting. Just pray that you please be with us. Lord, help us. Lord, as that elder preacher said, help us to trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus, to just trust and obey. That when we're in that crisis, we wouldn't throw in the towel. We wouldn't throw up our arms and say, why? Woe is me. But Lord, we would trust you and seek you. Lord, that we'd have that desire to seek you. We'd have that discipline. And we love you. Thank you for all that you give. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2:7